My name is Alan Morse, and I'm going to talk to you today about a subject called Made Alive. Now, I want you to get your Bibles out, get you some pieces of paper so that you can write these things down so that you can use them in your study, and it'll direct you exactly to what we're speaking about, and you'll be able to find these things in your scripture that's important. I want to turn to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, and we're going to look at verse 1. You find that, you know Romans, and then you've got Galatians, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, and then Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. We're going to be in Ephesians a lot today. So, anyway, Ephesians 2, verse 1. It says, And you hath he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sin. In other words, God has made us alive who were dead in trespasses and sin. This is something that is just hard to believe, but God has done that for us when we believe the gospel. And just look at Ephesians just across the page in chapter 1, verses 12. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 12. It says that we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after ye heard the word of truth, the gospel. That is the word of truth, and it's a gospel, what? Of your salvation, in whom also, after you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Think about that. As soon as you believe the gospel, and the gospel is that Christ died for your sins and that He was buried and He rose from the dead, that's salvation for the church today. If you believe that, you truly believe that, it says, after you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. You see, the churches today have no idea about this verse. They'll tell you, well, you gotta, in order to get the Holy Spirit, you know, you gotta confess your sins. Because if you have sin in your life, the Holy Spirit can't work with you. He's not there. So you gotta confess your sins so that the Holy Spirit can work in your life. And he says, they also say that you've gotta work towards getting the Holy Spirit. This is something you strive to have done. That is total lie. As we see here, the Holy Spirit is something that is given to us by God Himself. He gives us this Holy Spirit. He gives it to us as soon as we believe the gospel. As soon as we believe the gospel. You know, just look at this now. Let's look at the gospel. Let's turn back to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Go back to the left. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 1. This is the gospel, and this is what is given to, that Paul gave to all the people he dealt with. All these churches, the Corinthians was a church, and he was writing them the letters to them, and they were already believed the gospel. They were grounded in the gospel, and you can see this in this first verse. It says, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel. It didn't say a gospel. It says the gospel. This is the gospel for salvation, which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and which you stand. This is where they stood. They already received it, and they stood on the gospel for their salvation. But here the verse 2 says, by which also ye are saved. Isn't that what we're looking for, salvation? Church members, do you believe in this gospel? This is your salvation if you truly want to be saved. It says, if you keep in memory of what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. In other words, this is something you've got to believe. This is not a head knowledge. I had a head knowledge of this. There's no doubt about that. I believed my whole life that Christ died for my sins, that He was buried and rose from the dead. But my pastors kept telling me my salvation is based on believing in Jesus for your salvation. Well, it's not the same. It's not the same. And that's just, that's why you have to believe it. It's in your, this is your heart belief. It says, "For I delivered unto you first of all, which I also received." This gospel was received by Paul, by the Lord Jesus Christ. He gave it to him directly. And here it is, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again on the third day. That's the gospel. And that's the gospel that when God calls out this whole new group of people, you see, Judaism, the Jews totally rejected Him, turned their back on Him, and so He set them aside, and He decided to go to the Gentile people. Yes, there are some Jews that are believers today, but very, very few. But it's mainly to the Gentiles. Paul took it to the Jews, but they just darn near killed him. It was horrible what he went through when they went to told the people, that the Jewish people, the gospel. But it was then eventually God told him not to go to the Jews because they will not receive him. And so that he went on to the Gentiles to give it to us. And he calls out a whole new body of Christ. And that's what we are supposed to be today, the body of Christ. And Christ is the head of this body. And our salvation is based not on believing in Jesus. It's believing in what He did. That He died on that cross to pay for our sins. That He was buried. And He rose from the dead. Because what He did is what paid for our sins. Because if He didn't do that, we'd still be in our sins today. And we'd have no hope whatsoever. No hope whatsoever. And then when that happened, when you believed, He sealed you with the Holy Spirit. And this Holy Spirit is power. Tremendous power. Power that He gives to us. You see, beforehand, God gave the Jews the Ten Commandments to draw them closer to Him each and every day. But for God, that was perfect. But for man, it wasn't. There wasn't any power. All it did was condemn them because they couldn't keep the Ten Commandments. And they keep piling more commandments. They had over 600 laws that they had upon them trying to regulate them. It didn't work. So God made a total different change, and it's not dependent on us anymore. It's dependent on God, because God's going to come into you through that Holy Spirit and help guide your life. He's going to be with you every step of the way. It's just beyond my imagination. Let's turn back to Ephesians. Turn back to Ephesians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians, go through 2 Corinthians, then Galatians, and then Ephesians. Back to where we were, chapter 2. Verses 2, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 2, it says, in which in times past you walked according to the course of the world, according to the prince and the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the sons of disobedience. Who is this prince of power of the air that walks with us today? It's Satan. It's Satan. Satan has taken over this world. When Adam and Eve sinned, Satan took over. And this world is now ruled by Satan. And he's the one who keeps us from seeing the truth. You see, he's got most all the world who do not believe in God at all. But then he joined the churches, literally. He joined the churches and he points the churches to everything but the gospel, because he knows the gospel is salvation and he doesn't want us to be saved. And so the prince of the power of air is working in us as sons of disobedience, and he just loves it. Let me show you another place. You go back to 2 Corinthians. Go back to 2 Corinthians. Go to the left. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verses 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verses 3. It says, But if our gospel be hidden, it is hidden to them that are lost, in whom the God of this age has blinded the minds of them who believe not. Who believe not. Who's the God of this age? We just talked about him. Satan. It's in whom the God of this age has blinded the minds of them who believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. And that's what he's done to Christians of the day. The Christians, so-called Christians of the day, have been totally blinded. You know, 90% of the pastors today or more preach 90% of the time or 95% of the time in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, maybe a little bit in the Old Testament, and maybe a verse or two in Paul's writings. But they totally ignore Paul's writings. And you see, Paul was the only person who was the disciple for the Gentiles. He was the apostle for the Gentiles. He was a minister to the Gentiles. Peter, James, and John, the 12, never ministered to Gentiles. Yes, I know that Peter went to Cornelius, but we'll talk about that later. One time, and it was there to show him that Gentiles are saved in a different manner. Totally. And they were saved as soon as he believed, they were saved. And they couldn't understand that, you see. The salvation of the Jews at that time is they had to repent. And they had to believe that Jesus was the Messiah. They had to be baptized. And then they were filled with the Holy Spirit. But we just believe the gospel. And we're saved and filled with the Holy Spirit. Totally different. Totally different. And you see, the church today has taken the four gospels, which was totally Jewish, and they put it in the church, and Satan is the one that did it, because he knows that if they could point him to the Jewish way, they know that we couldn't be saved and would be go to hell just like all the rest of the people. But that's exactly what he did. He's blinded them so that they will not know the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's heartbreaking. It's totally heartbreaking what's happened to the churches of the day. Let's go back to Ephesians chapter 2 again. Go back to the right, to Galatians and then Ephesians chapter 2 again. And let's look at verses 3. It says, among whom also we all had our manner of life in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature, children of wrath, even as others. We were all alike before we believed the gospel. We were all alike. But it says, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love with which he loved us. It's hard to even comprehend how the God could love us when we were children of wrath. But he did. He loved us so greatly that he died for us. He paid the sins for you and me. Even when we were dead in sin, he hath made us alive. That's what this talk is about. He has made us alive. He did it. We didn't do it. He did it by dying on that cross to pay for our sins. He made us alive because he presented us perfectly blameless to God. When we stand before God because of what Jesus did on that cross, we will stand before him totally blameless. Our sins have been totally taken care of, and he has made us alive together with Christ. By grace you are saved. By the grace of God we're saved, because of what Christ did for us. And he had raised us up together and made us to sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show exceedingly riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Jesus Christ. And look what this next verse says, verse 8. Verse 8, it says, for by grace you are saved through faith, not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Just look at that. It says, by grace you have been saved through faith. What's faith? That's belief. Belief in the gospel, because that's all that Paul ever preached, was the gospel. That Christ died for your sins, that he was buried, and he rose from the dead. And that not of yourselves. There's nothing that you can do. Nothing you can do for your salvation whatsoever. You can be the best person in the world, but unless you believe the gospel, you're going to be lost. And it's not what you do, except believe the gospel. It is the gift of God. Not of works. You see, the world, the church of today has all kinds of works for you to do, to bring you closer, they say, to God. The church is trying to make you work your way to heaven, and it doesn't work. Those works are worthless. Only works are worth anything is what God does through you after you believe the gospel. And it's not of works, lest anyone should boast. Think about how heaven would be if we were up there because of our good works. Why, you couldn't get people to shut up. Everybody would say, well, I did this, and I did that, and I did this, inferring we did do nothing. Well, we might not have. But you see, they're pointing to, there's no I in heaven. No I in heaven whatsoever. The people that are in heaven are there for one reason, is because Christ paid the price for them, paid for their sins. There's no place for us to boast. No matter what we've done on this earth, if we've done good things and we've been saved and it's the Holy Spirit in our life, it's going to be God working through us. And He will get the glory and we'll get the rewards in eternity. How wonderful that when you believe the gospel, that Holy Spirit comes into you, you will end up doing a lot of good works, but it won't be you doing them, it'll be God doing them through you. And God will get the glory. That we'll get the rewards in heaven for eternity. How wonderful it is that we have that. Now let's look at verses 11. Let's look at it, verses 11. Wherefore, remember that ye being in times past Gentiles in the flesh. You see, we were called Gentiles, who were called uncircumcision. That was called that. They were called us by the circumcision, or the Jew, by which is called the circumcision, and the flesh by, made by hands. That at that time you were without Christ. You were alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. Then it says, But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off are made near by the blood of Christ. Made near by the blood of Christ. What does that mean? We are made near because Christ died on that cross and shed His blood for us. He died and He shed His blood, and His blood, He was a final sacrifice. For sin. You see, for thousands of years, the Jews would bring up an animal. It had to be a perfect animal. Once a year, and that animal had to die. And the blood was shed on the altar as a sacrifice for sin. But Jesus was that perfect animal. You see, the Son of God took on man, a body of man, because He couldn't die. The Son of God can't die. He had to take on a body of a man. And He did that. And He walked on this earth by the name of Jesus Christ. And He died because He was God. And He was perfect. And He only had to be the perfect sacrifice for man's sin forever. It's the last one that will ever be made. He paid the sin for everybody, the last sacrifice. And He died for our sin. And it was His blood that was shed. And His blood was perfect, and that's why that we can be perfect, because of what Christ did for us. Let's turn to Hebrews. It talks a little bit about that. We're going to go back to the right. Hebrews. We go back to Ephesians, Colossians, 1 and 2 Thessalonians, 1 and 2 Timothy, Titus, Philemon, and then Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9. And it says in verse 22, Hebrews chapter 9, verses 22, and it says, And almost all the things that are the law purged with blood, and without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. What it means is that without shedding of blood, there is no remission for our sins. You see, if Christ had to die, and that's why he told us that we had to look to the cross for our salvation. We had to put our trust in what he did, because what he did is what saved us, and because he paid for our sins. And without that, we'd be lost in our sins. And so we look to him for salvation, that we believe that Jesus died for our sins, that he was buried, and that he rose from the dead. See, if Jesus hadn't risen from the dead, that would have meant that God did not accept his sacrifice and would be lost in our sins. But he did raise from the dead. There's preachers out here that don't believe that he raised from the dead. They don't believe he was dead already. You see, that's total hogwash. Because if he had not raised from the dead, we would still be in our sins. But he did. So he died for us. He was buried to prove that he was dead. And then he rose from the dead. That's our salvation today. Let's turn to Galatians. Turn back to the left. We'll go back to the left to the Galatians, through Timothy and 1 and 2 Thessalonians and Philippians, Ephesians, and then Galatians. Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1. And let's look at verse 11. This is where this gospel came from that God told us to. It says, this is Galatians chapter 1, verses 11. It says, "But I make known unto you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ." By the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is the head of this body of Christ, the new church that Jesus called out. And Paul, he was the apostle of the Gentiles. He was the only one. Peter, James, and John, the 12, did not deal with the Gentiles. They dealt only with the gospel of the kingdom, which God told them to preach, and he told them, do not go to the Gentiles, not even to the Samaritans, because they were half Jews, but only to the lost sheep of Israel. So what they were preaching had nothing to do with us today, the Gentiles. And that's why God called out a whole new body of Christ, new church, because the Jews had totally rejected Christ. And so he called out a whole new body, and that's what we are, the Gentiles today. And our salvation wasn't based on the gospel of the kingdom. It was based on believing the gospel, that Christ died for our sins, that he was buried and rose from the dead. How important is this gospel? How important is this gospel? Just look over here. We're in Galatians in chapter 1. Look at verse 8. Look at verse 8. It says, "But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than which we have preached unto you," he said, "let him be accursed." Are the pastors today preaching other gospels to you? Have you heard a pastor say, take Jesus into your heart? Have you heard a pastor say, believe in Jesus for your salvation? Have you ever said, believe in Jesus? You see, the devil believes in Jesus and he's not saved. The only way we are told to do is to believe not who he was, but what he did. That's our salvation and what he did. And anybody preach anything different than that, he said, let them be accursed. And look what he said in verse 9. As we said before, so say I say now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than which he have received, which you have received, let him be accursed. Let him be accursed. Now look to Galatians chapter 5. Let's look in Galatians chapter 5. Verse 1, it says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty which Christ has made us free, and be not entangled into the yoke of bondage." He says, "Behold, I, Paul, say unto you." What he's telling him is that people were adding things to the gospel. You can't add anything to the gospel. And the Jews were coming to the Galatian people and telling them that they would have to be circumcised in order to be saved. And that they would have to believe, keep the law, or they won't be saved. But Paul says, "Behold, I say unto you, if you be circumcised, Christ profits you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised, he is a debtor to the whole law. Christ has become no effect, and whosoever you are justified by the law have fallen from grace." That's how important it is that we just totally believe the gospel. We don't add anything to it. Well, you might say, well, we don't do that. Does a preacher ever tell you that you should be baptized? That's the same thing. You didn't ever see anything about being baptized in the gospel. Baptism is nothing but a foothold for Satan. That's all it is, to add something to your salvation. Paul says, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is a power of God unto salvation for those that believe." That's Romans chapter 1:16. For those that believe. It's tremendously important that we put our trust totally in the gospel and the gospel alone for our salvation. Let us pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, I just pray that you would open the minds and the hearts of everybody that hears this, my voice today, that they would truly believe the gospel for their salvation, and then because of their belief that you would fill them with the Holy Spirit, you would seal them till the day of their redemption. And I pray that that would happen today for every person that hears my voice. And we would all meet each other and be in heaven together for eternity. And how wonderful that will be. I just praise you, Father, for Jesus, for what he has done for us. And I praise you so much. In Jesus' precious name, amen.